The carpet has done many wonders in its day, but if only the children had taken off their shoes. When you hear that the children spent an uneventful Christmas at their aunt's house in Lyndhurst, you will not be surprised to learn that on their return they spent the rest of their school holidays with the Phoenix and the Wishing Carpet, enjoying adventures which included 199 greying Persian cats, 398 squeaking muskrats, and an honest burglar who was persuaded to give up his life of crime for marriage with the cook queen on the sunny shore where you can't have whooping cough. I would like you to try to believe in these adventures, for it might help explain why, when we next meet the children, with cautious tenderness, they are holding the carpet up to the light.
"Good gracious," said Jane, "the carpet is wearing out."
"Its life with you has not been a luxurious one," said the Phoenix. "French mud twice, sand, cow's hoof, cats and rats."
"We must mend it," said Anthea.
So out they all went, and bought wool to mend the carpet. But there is no shop in Camden Town where you can buy wishing wool. No, nor in Kentish Town either. However, ordinary Scotch heather mixture seemed good enough, and this they bought, and all that day Jane and Anthea darned and darned and darned, and the gentle Phoenix paced up and down the table and talked to the industrious girls about their carpet.
"It is not an ordinary, ignorant carpet from Kidderminster," it said. "It is a carpet with a past, a Persian past. Do you know that in happier years, when that carpet was the property of caliphs, kings and sultans, it never lay on the floor?"
"I thought the floor was the proper home of a carpet," Jane interrupted.
"Not of a magic carpet," said the Phoenix. "Why, if it had been allowed to lie about on floors, there wouldn't be much of it left now. No, indeed, it has lived in the sandalwood caskets of princesses and in the rose-scented treasure-houses of kings. Never, never had anyone degraded it by walking on it, except in the way of business, when wishes were required. And then they always took their shoes off. And you..."
"Oh, don't," said Jane, very near tears. "You know you'd never have been hatched at all if it hadn't been for Mother wanting a carpet for us to walk on."
"You needn't have walked so much, or so hard," said the bird.
"Well, I must say," Mother said, looking at the wishing carpet as it lay, all darned and mended, "I must say I've never in my life bought such a bad bargain as that carpet. Well, never mind, darlings, you've done your best. I think we'll have coconut matting next time. But now, away with melancholy, Father has sent a telegram. Look." She held it out, and the children read, "Box for kiddies at Garrick Theatre. Meet Charing Cross, 6:30. "That means," said Mother, "that you're going to see the Water Babies all by your happy selves, and Father and I will take you and fetch you." When Mother had gone, the Phoenix fluttered down and perched on the fender, and its conversation, as usual, was entertaining and instructive, like school prizes are said to be. But it seemed a little absent-minded, and even a little sad.
"Don't you feel well, Phoenix, dear?" asked Anthea.
"I'm not sick," replied the golden bird with a gloomy shake of the head, "but I am getting old."
"Why, you've hardly been hatched any time at all," said Robert.
"Time," remarked the Phoenix, "is measured by heartbeats. I'm sure the palpitations I've had since I've known you..."